Praise God. Well, I was going to say amen to that little clip. And he who has an ear, let him hear. I'm telling you, you know, there's some exciting times coming, but there's some times that are coming that are going to be terrible. But God will not leave his people just hanging out there. But you gotta learn how to walk with God. And what I see God doing right now with the church all over America and around the world is preparing a people for an outpouring of, in such a magnitude that this world has never even heard about it. And the beginning steps for that to happen is going to be through the repentance of the church. The repentance of the people of the church. The church is not where it's supposed to be. Christians are not where they need to be. And so there's just a lot of things that are coming about that we're going to have to be careful and understand that we need to be in that right place with God. And it's already started. If you're been listening to what we've been talking about over the last couple of years, there's a work of repentance that is manifesting and it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. So he who has an ear, let him hear. Amen. Okay, well, let's go ahead and release the children. Wonder what y'all were standing around for. Amen. Children don't like my preaching, so they get up and leave. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're progressing with the building, and just keep praying and believing and standing and trusting God, and we're going to see this thing open up and hopefully over in the building at least by the middle of October, so looking forward to it. You got your hope up. You got your hope up. You anticipating, expecting. Amen. All right. Hope said something Wednesday night about she was tired and all this, and I told her I was going to be preaching on that Sunday, so she's been building up, you know, great expectation about what's about to happen in her life. But the truth is, the same thing can happen in all of our lives. And I just wish that we were more, in other words, filled with expectation all of the time for the things of God. Because I'm telling you, God is moving in some mighty ways right now. And we need to stay in it, not away from it. People, the first thing happens when they start having problems, they move away from God, and I've never understood that. I mean, that's the time to press in. It's time to get just as close to Him as you can get. And so that's part of the reason that we find ourselves in fatigue, tired, and all of these things. And literally, when we move away from God, we're not even aware that we're doing it. But you'll find out we pray shorter prayers and then no prayers. We move away from worship. Then we move away from reading the Word. And then finally we just move away out of His presence. And it's time to come back. Amen. So we at this church have a heart for revival. And if I had to put a name on me as to what I really am deep down in my heart, I'm a revivalist. I've had a heart for revival for the last 40 years, and I'm going to live to see revival. I hope everybody is with me when we see it happen. Amen. But right now, revival is still tarrying. It's still hanging loose, and sometimes I wonder, well, why? You know, what's happening, God, that you're just kind of letting us see it, letting us taste it and feel it, but we're not actually getting the full impact of revival. Well, We're going to talk about oppression this morning because I think that that's the main reason that we're having such a problem moving into revival. Now, why is it that so many Christians are living in oppression in this season, in this time that we're living in? Basically, many Christians, and you know, this shouldn't be. I mean, this is the ways of the world, but it shouldn't be the way of the church. But so many Christians are overcome by life itself. They're overcome by tribulations that Jesus said, you're going to have them. Why do we get so excited at them when they come? That's the time to press into Jesus. He said, you're going to have them. He said, but I've overcome. So that's where we need to get just as close as we can to him. But also, there's so many Christians walking around today in guilt. And the guilt is from sins that are in their life that they've not repented of. And I know when we think that, or when we say that, we think, oh, well, you know, I'm not an adulterer, I'm not, I'm not a homosexual or any of those, you know, what we call the biggies. Well, they're all big in God's eyes. And we can sin against ourselves by the way we take care of our bodies, the lack of care for our bodies. So there's so many things that can cause us to fall deep into oppression. And Jesus said that we are not to be overwhelmed by trials or tribulations, but we are to rejoice, for he has overcome. We are to rejoice, for he has overcome. We had a great time this morning in praise and worship. I, or at least I was. I don't know about y'all. But it's just so clean and refreshing when you get to, get your heart involved in praise and just start praising God and worshiping him and all these things that makes, us feel bad just seem to just melt away. But if they're involved, or if sin is involved in all of these things, they're going to be back and they're going to bring the guilt back. And that's why we need to learn how to deal with the sin that comes into our lives. Now, there are many in this day who say that they believe. I could ask everybody in this room, do you believe? And I'd get a positive answer. But many in this day and age are deceived because they've hardened their hearts to God's ways. They've become hardened in their hearts to the ways of God. Scripture calls this having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And many of us can find ourselves guilty of that. This deception involves everybody that's in churches nowadays, and especially in leadership. There are more leaders in this day and age that are getting into trouble because their sins are being exposed. And who do you think would be exposing them? God Almighty. You know, he's not going to let his people walk continually in sin without bringing forth light to discover the darkness of the sin of the hearts. So we can't hide from God. David tried that and said there's no way to hide from him. So many years later, we're the same. We can't go hide from God any place because there's not a place that God can't find us. But the thing we need to be careful about, especially as Christians, is in appearing to be righteous. Appearing to be righteous, but having sin in our lives that we know that we have and that we know that we need to repent of. And so it's time to repent, because this is going to be the foundation from which revival is going to come. You see, God looks upon the heart of the man or the woman, and he sees the true motives and the true purposes of those hearts. And if there ever was a generation that's in need of repentance, this is the generation. Because we are so close to things beginning to happen that the Bible has prophesied for thousands of years. And we're about to see these things begin to happen. So the question this morning is, how do we get free? How do we get free from these things? What do we need to do to escape from oppression? How do we find our way back into the safety and the rest of God? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have reached that place of resting in God? You see, if you're continually anxious about something, then you're not in His rest. You haven't got there. I mean, Jesus even told us, don't worry. Don't be concerned about things. And yet we let worry and all that stuff just overwhelm us. But it's time that we need to be set free. Oppression, it involves our spirit. It involves our emotions, our physical body. And we need to learn how to identify it and how to deal with it. So listen to what Jesus said. He knew that every one of us, looking down through history, every one of us that's here today, we're going to fall into despair. And then He wanted to provide a way that we can identify to be able to escape the things that happen to us when we do fall. So let's look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. What's the first four words or three words? Come unto me. And usually that's on the bottom of our list. We try everything else except going to Him. But come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's not talking about work here. He's talking about living life. And if you're laboring and you're living your life right now, then Jesus wants you to come to Him. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't it interesting that Jesus highlights the word soul? You will find rest for your souls. Of course, involved in our soul is our whole life, really. That's where our will, our mind, our will, and our emotions are. And that's where most of the despair and the uncertainty and all of that, we find it in the mind. And that's what makes us feel so bad all the time. Robs us of our energy. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, in this Matthew chapter 11, Jesus makes a plea to the world who is lost, but He also makes a plea to Christians who are in turmoil about the very essence of life itself. And He presents them, He presents the world with a very clear picture of how to be saved. The way we come, get saved is to come unto Jesus, believing in Him, recognizing Him for who He is, the Son of God, and believing that He died on that cross for our sins. And by receiving Him into our heart, then we can have salvation and eternal life. Now that's simple. It's simple to receive Jesus. It's simple to take that first step. But from that point forward, we're going to have to learn how to do what the Word says, how to follow the Scripture, and do everything that God has called us to do. And that's a difficult task. But He's given us the Holy Spirit to walk with us, to enable us, and even His grace to enable us to walk out the Word of God in our lives every day. Do you understand that? Can you say amen? All right. Don't want y'all going to sleep on me. But the world has choices. They have life or death. They have blessings or curses. And truth being is that we have the same choices as Christians. We still can choose life or we can choose death. We can choose blessing or we can choose cursing. And the real choice is that He's offering these things to us. He's even offering us rest in this season that we can have if we'll just believe and trust His Word. Now, we think that this passage that I just read is for the weary Christian who's carrying the lead of being a Christian. You know, sometimes it's hard being a Christian. And we think it's even a call for revival for those who are weary against the battle, against hell. And Christians do. I mean, we do have battles, and yet we never fully understand that with those battles come the victories. We are overcomers in this world. We have victory, and we have to get that down into our spirit, into our soul, knowing that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So we need to receive these things and understand what is wrong in our lives, and because that's not what this scripture is all about. Listen to what Jesus would speak into our hearts today if He were here. Listen to what He would say to you individually. Because freedom is being offered, presented to you this morning. Freedom, real freedom, true freedom. And all you have to do is accept it. Accept that freedom that Jesus is offering and enter into that rest. Now listen to what He says. Jesus says, "Come unto Me, all that you that labor and are heavy laden." That's the first step. Come unto Him. That means every day you have a responsibility to press into Him. I've told you before, I start my day praying for grace. Because I can't live a day without grace. Grace is that enabling power to empower me to live the life of a Christian. But what is this labor that Jesus is talking about? It's a weariness. It's a fatigue that attacks our physical bodies. But it also attacks our mind, and it attacks our emotions, even down deep into our spirit. And it literally, over a period of time, pulls us down into the pit of despair. There was a time in David's life when David was in that pit. And he cried out unto the Lord. And what did the Lord do? He delivered him. And the same truth is evident today. If that's where you're at this morning, all you have to do is call out to God. And He will pull you up out of that pit. And He will set your feet on solid ground. Amen. Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And all of this is because of the heavy burden that we try to carry. We don't deal with the sin like we should deal with the sin. And after a while, it becomes very heavy to carry. It's a burden, all of the unrepented sin that we have. And we have the guilt and the power of that sin that's constantly working in our lives every day, and it won't turn us loose until we choose to repent. And what it's become is a self-made burden of our rebellious heart. We've invited it upon ourselves, not knowingly necessarily, but just by walking in it and not paying attention to it. And over a period of time, it builds up and it becomes a heavy load to carry. I talk to married couples about this. They got all these problems and they don't want to deal with the problem. They want to deal with the mate. Well, until you deal with all the baggage that you carry around, you're not going to be able to deal with the mate. Because both of you have a set of garbage that you carry around and have been carrying around most of your life because you've never repented of it. And that's why, you know, it's important that in dealing with married problems that we deal with the people individually first before we try to bring the two back together. Amen. And it's the same problem today. I don't care what you're walking in. If you're carrying around unrepented sin, you're carrying a load. And you've got to get rid of the load. You see, our lives, like I said a while ago, we're supposed to live in freedom and victory, not defeat, not walking around with our chin on the ground. I mean, looking at the lives of many Christians throughout the years, if that's what being Christian makes you look like, I wouldn't want to be a Christian. You see what I mean? What kind of impact do you have on people when you're in despair? You know, people don't even want what you got, and you're telling them it's Christianity. Need to repent. Our confession sounds like a word that Paul wrote in Romans 7:24. He said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? O wretched man that I am, woe is me, for I am undone." I can't get nothing going. I can't even get out of bed in the morning. Don't want to go to work. Don't want to have any responsibility. Does that sound like a good, strong Christian life? No. Sound like a life 100% full of defeat and sin. So Paul asked that question, who shall deliver me? Well, let's ask ourselves that question. If we're in that pit, who's going to deliver us? Jesus will. And listen to the invitation that he'll give you if you come to him. Come, and I will give you rest. Again, it begins by going to him, laying all of that stuff at his feet with the promise of coming rest. Jesus offers this invitation, and he offers it to whosoever is sick of their sin, whosoever is weary of the ways that they've been walking in the world, and whosoever has been walking in the sins of the flesh. That's who he offers it to. And this is an invitation that even David, back before Jesus came, he had a revelation of it. In Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3. He came to God with the problems. And in verse 2, he says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." Does that sound like rest to you? Yeah, it is. And again, we've got the word soul. That's where God restores us in our soul. Amen? So, thinking about your life right now, do you need to accept an invitation like that today? Because Jesus is here and God's here, and they're making the same invitation that they made to David. And you see, we even have the Comforter. David didn't have him. But we have the Comforter. And he's come to meet with those who have need of rest. In a minute, when we have the invitation in prayer, the Spirit of God is just going to be poured out. In fact, I don't know if y'all noticed or not, but the Spirit of God got so heavy in worship this morning, I thought I was going to fall out of my chair over here. While, you know, several times it got so heavy. But this is how important this is to God. You know, He wants us to sense His presence, and how the way He looks at all of this is being so important. But you have to listen to the Spirit of God. And when you listen, you're going to hear conviction. He'll come and He'll convict you of unrepented sin in your life. He will not condemn you. If there's anything whispering condemnation into your heart, into your ear, it's not coming from God. It's coming from the devil. And he wants to destroy you with that condemnation. He wants to make you think that you're not worthy of repentance. He wants you to think that you're in a position before God where you failed and you're going to go straight to hell because of some sins you committed. But I am so thankful that there's still power in the blood. Amen? And God is not out to beat us to death like some people think He is. God loves us. And He allowed Jesus to shed His blood just for this factor. Confess our sins. And then He's faithful and just to forgive us of those sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? What a loving God we have. So, if you have a lifestyle where you're not living the life the way that God wants you to live, then you need to repent. You have to acknowledge that rebellious work inside of you, and tell him that God knows exactly everything in your heart that you've done wrong. But it's important to you that you tell God what it is. Because you need to recognize it. You know what it is because the Spirit of God has whispered it in your ear many times. But you need to tell God, this is what I did. Lord, let's just take a majority of Christians don't obey God's word. They obey some of it, but they don't obey all of it. And God doesn't accept that as a full truth. Obey half my word and you'll be okay. No, He wants you to obey all of it. Every one of us needs to obey all of it. And then things like holiness. Whether you understand holiness or what, you have to believe that it's possible to walk in holiness because the Word of God said so. And you know, we get into arguments with people, you know, about, well, you know, it's not possible to be holy like God is holy. Basically, what we're doing is saying, God, you're a liar. If God says you can be holy, then by God, you can be holy. Amen? That's the way it works. And so we need to quit believing all of these lies that the enemy is pouring into us and be set free from every work of bondage this morning. Again, that's the root of why we all are in the shape that we're in. Tired, fatigued, no energy. All of this stuff is what pulls us down. And God wants to see us released this morning. Jesus says, once again, come to me. come to me. And in order to respond to him, you have to renounce or repent those things which stand in opposition to him or in competition with him, and then accept him again. Tell him, I accept you as my Savior, as my Lord, as my physician for those who are sick. I accept you as my advocate, my liberator. You see, Jesus is the one standing before the Father defending you every day. And so we need to walk in that and believe that that's what he does. And trust him to get us through each day. You have to lay down your life. Are you willing to do that? You know, I've preached on that several times this year. But we're going to have to lay down our lives and quit trying to walk with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, because it doesn't work. It won't work, because Jesus said it's lukewarm and he does not accept that at all. So you have to be willing this morning. You have to be willing to be saved by him if you're not saved. You have to be willing to be saved his way and not your way. And I've run into that many times through the years. You know, people want to come to me and tell me, well, this is how I feel like I can be saved. No, you come agreeing with God on what God said about salvation. Because your way is the wrong way, and it's going to take you the wrong way. Amen? So, come. Come and cast your burdens on him. And you see, literally, this is the call of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word talks about the Spirit says, come. Come. Even the bride says, come. Come. Whosoever is thirsty, come. Whosoever will, let him come. Come. You see, to come and lay it all down is the only way that it works. And that's why the word come will always preface the work of revival. It'll be right before it, before revival comes. And let me tell you, I was wrong at one time. I really thought that when revival would come, it would bring a work of repentance. But I'm beginning to find out it's the other way around. We need to repent so revival can come. God can do whatever he wants to do. But I just want to be on the right side when it comes. Amen? So, I will give you rest, says Jesus. I'll give you rest from your labor. And if you'll come this morning, that promise is for you. And it belongs to you because you have a word from Jesus about everything that I've talked about this morning. I will give you rest from lingering death that is caused by sin. That's what the scripture says. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when you accept the invitation of life, then you are delivered out of that death into life. I'll give you rest from the power of sin over your life. And what a promise that is. The power of sin, God will deliver you from it. Paul writes in Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. If there's sin in your life, it's because you've allowed it, not because it has dominion over you. Because God will not allow it to have that dominion. For you are not under the law, but under grace. Under grace. Jesus will give you the rest promised by His Father. And remember that rest is a release from the weight of sin. And it's not a release from the service to God. Again, when we get all messed up with sin, the first thing we want to do is quit serving. And then the second step is out the door. And the third thing is back into the world. So we need to do it God's way, called true repentance. Hebrews 3:11-12 says, "So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." This is God speaking. "Take heed or beware, brothers, that there might be in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." And listen, unbelief and rebellion against God's word will keep you out of that rest. That's why it's so hard for people to find, because they're not willing to obey. And if you'll listen to that we just read, that is a promise from God. We're always talking about God's promises. This is one of them. If we'll quit rebelling against Him, then we can find that rest. That's why so many Christians never get into the place of rest, the place of security, or the place of peace, even that place of protection that God has promised. Look at another promise in Hebrews 4:1-3. "Let us therefore fear, unless a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them," the children of Israel, "but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with" what? Faith. "Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into that rest, as He has said." And then one last scripture is in Hebrews 4:9. "There remains therefore a rest to the people of God." God has not done away with His rest. "For he that is entered into His rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from His." And these works are what produce the weariness and the pain of human labors. "So let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, unless any man might fall after the same example of unbelief." So God has called us to walk in faith, in obedience, and following His lordship. And when we do, there is a promise of rest that we can have. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you, for it's light. But your yoke that you've created is too heavy." And that's the reason so many people are falling by the wayside, because they can't carry the weight any longer. And they're not looking for a way out necessarily to release the weight from themselves, but they just find themselves looking for a way out, period. And guess what? The devil's right there to open the door for them, make sure they find the wrong way. So we need to submit ourselves to Christ and His servant and obey Him in every way. Obey Him in every way, everything. Amen. So give you a minute to think about that, and we're going to pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that you continue doing your work in this place this morning. Just come, Holy Spirit, and bring forth that conviction to every soul that is in this room, Lord. And that we might agree with you, Lord, of things that need to be repented of. Lord, you're always careful to speak the things into our heart that you see that needs to be dealt with. And so, Father, we're just going to trust you and deal with them this morning and be set free. Father, we're going to bring these burdens and we're going to lay them before you, Lord. Because we admit, Father, we can't carry them anymore. They are literally destroying us physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. We're going to lay them down this morning. We're going to confess them for what they are, is sin. And then ask you to cleanse us with the precious blood of Jesus. That set us completely and totally free this morning. So, Father, we just thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for the power of your word that is at work within us. And that we can be set completely free this morning. And we just give you all of the glory, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.